We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph. We began the shiur last week with discussing the sinyan of David and Bathsheba. And I would recommend all those who didn't hear last week's shiur should hear the tape, because it's really a continuation of what we're going to learn this week and the following weeks. Today's shiur is sponsored by one of the Bachram in Yeshiva in Bell Harbor. And I'm very touched that he sponsored this year in gratitude, Akar Satoiv. So, Kamayim Haponim Laponim Kem Leiv Ha'odom La'odom. My feelings toward him are the same. I have the highest regard and appreciation for him and for the other Bachim in Yeshiva. And we should all be Matzliach together in our learning and Avodas Hashem. We learned last week with David and Bathsheba that David had actually requested a nisoyon. He wanted Hashem to test him. And if he would withstand the test, he would be like the Avos would say, Elokei David, not just Elokei Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Hashem told him he would get a test, and it would involve an inyan of arayis, a forbidden relation, taking somebody that wasn't permitted to him in marriage. He knew exactly what the subject of the test was going to be. And it was Vayilei Sa'erev, we learned. It was in the evening, and David got up, and he noticed, he saw Bathsheba washing herself, Vayisha Tova Smara Ma'od, and she was very beautiful, and David took Bathsheba. A few things of note. First of all, the Gemara points out, Bathsheba was a ketana. She was very young. She was certainly not bas mitzvah, not near there. The interesting thing is, her grandfather, we mentioned, was Achitofel, who was an advisor of David. And he later turned against David. He supported Avshalom's rebellion. And about him, David said, Anshe damim umirma, men of bloodshed and deceit, Lo yechtzu yameyam, won't live out half of their lives. Which Chazal understand in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Tesam at Beis, the average lifespan is 70 years. Yemei Shino Seinu Behem Shivim Shana. Achitofel didn't even reach middle age. He was middle age meaning halfway up to 70. He was nifter at the age of 33. Now, if you figure, it's miraculous. It's hard for us to understand, you know, to take it literally, but the Gemara understands that Achitofel was nifter at the age of 33. At the point that he was nifter, he had a son, Eliam, a granddaughter, this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. Bathsheba had already had a child, we'll see, that died, and her second child was Shlomo, and Shlomo was 7 years old at the time, so obviously the generations were born when the child gave birth to his child, because he was nifter at the age of 26. He already had his great-grandson. Shlomo was born. But, so Bathsheba herself was young. We'll see in the mashal that later on, David was criticized by Nathan for what he did. And Nathan gave him a mashal. He said, it's like a poor person who has one sheep, and the poor person brings the sheep into his house, and she's together with his family. Batigdal imovim bonov yachtov. She's raised with him and with his children. The Mefarshim point out, I saw this in the Das Sofrim, that according to the Mashal, it would seem that Uriah had another wife, and he had a family. And this other wife died, and he married Bathsheba. So Bathsheba was his one wife. It was this little keves, this little lamb, the shepsela, that Uriah had, that he brought her into his house, and she was together with him and his children. But there's a zoyar that's brought down that said that Uriah had not lived with Bathsheba this whole time, and he had taken her as a wife, as she was very young. And he had another wife before who had passed away. I don't know at what point, you know, this happened. But he hadn't even lived with Bathsheba. As we mentioned, David knew in Nevuah that Bathsheba was destined to be his wife. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Zayin, a Gemara we mentioned earlier, Darish Rava, Rava Darshan, my dechsev, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph? L'chol levadcha chatasi, David HaMelech said, to you alone I sinned. V'arabe necha sisi, what was evil in your eyes I did. L'man titztak bidov recha, and I did this in order that you, Hashem, should be righteous in your words. You said something, your words should be correct. When you judge an individual, you should win the case. Tizke, you'll be shown to be the correct one in judgment. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said before Hashem, Gal yaviyadiyah kamach, it's revealed and it's known before you, Diboyi lemichafye liyitzri. If I wanted to force my Yetzirah, if I wanted, Hava kaifina, I could defeat the Yetzirah. I wouldn't have to do this, what was considered an Aveira for David. I wouldn't have to do this. El Amina, but I said, Delo Lemru, people shouldn't say, Avda Zochi Lamare, that the servant is victorious over the master. Meaning there was a challenge. David said to Hashem, test me. And Hashem said, okay, the deal is on. Here's your test, and it's going to be a test in this matter of Arayas. Now that David was confronted with the test, the Gemara seems to say, like David said, I figured you should win. You took up my challenge. You should win. So that's why I slipped in this Aveira. But I saw a beautiful Hesber. There's a little more to it. You know, the Chovas HaLevavos, when he discussed about writing his Sefer, he mentioned, you know, is he the one who's really fit to do it? He didn't feel that he was worthy of such a task of writing the Sefer. And he writes the expression, it's, you have to be careful. May hazihirus shaloti zohir. Sometimes you have to be careful, not to be too careful. You know, a lot of times a person will think, who am I to do it? It shouldn't be for me. And since he's so worried about his perfection, nothing gets done. Sometimes you got to do it whether it's so good or not, and you just do your best. You can't be too careful. David HaMelech knew that over here he was going to be tested. He knew there was going to be a test. But he also knew that Bathsheba was destined to be his wife. And he also knew that he was already, we mentioned last week, he was already approaching 60 years old, and he didn't know who was going to take over the throne. And this was almost a clear sign, min hashamayim. I mean, a real test is a test that has to be a challenge. It's not a simple Yetzirah. Here, this whole thing that he shot an arrow and Bathsheba was exposed, the whole thing was so unusual. And he knew that Bathsheba was destined for him. And as we mentioned, and we'll continue to discuss, there were other reasons why legally there was no Aveira here. So David could have won the bargain. He could have decided, okay, he's going to refrain and he's not going to do anything. And then he could go down in history as having withstood the test, and as if he, you know, the challenge between him and God, and he won. But then what would happen? He wouldn't have the proper heir for the throne. There was a clear indication that should take Bathsheba, and their child would be the king. And he knew that, and there was nothing legally wrong. So David had this matter to grapple with. Is it worthwhile to win the test? Or should he win the war and accomplish what he has to accomplish in life and have the proper Yoresh, the one to take over the throne? Chazal also mentioned the idea, it's like somebody eating figs when it's paga, when it's unripe. Or as if you know that a fig is, you can eat the fig, but you should wait till it's ripened. The same idea with David. He was supposed to take Bathsheba, but he should have waited. It wasn't yet the time. But of course, that's something that we're aware of, and David is living before we're studying the lessons involved. That pasuk l'chol levadcha chatasi, David HaMelech said, to you alone I sinned. The Marsha points out because Batsheva was a Gerusha, as we mentioned, she was divorced. So there was nothing that Beis Din could hold David guilty of. Anybody who knows the circumstances, David would prove that what he did was okay. But l'chol levarcha chatasi, David HaMelech said to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I sinned, because Hashem expects more, and by your standard, what I did was not proper. But legally and technically, we would not have been able to prove David wrong. L'chol levarcha chatasi, to you Hashem alone, I sinned. And as the pasuk stresses, v'hi miskadeshes mitumasa, there wasn't even... of course she wasn't an Eish HaSish. Of course she wasn't a married woman. She wasn't even impure. She wasn't even a Nida. It was even the lesser Aveira David wasn't guilty of. So David took her. And David had a calculation, as we mentioned. It could be everyone who went out to war gave his wife a get. When they came back, when the war was over, and he came back to his house, and he again was going to live with his wife, he would marry her again. But in the meantime, she was divorced, just in case something should happen in battle. Could be he'll be missing in action, could be he'll be killed, and they won't be able to recognize the body. It might be buried quickly before anyone sees it. There could be many types of problems that would hinder his wife from remarrying, so he used to give her a get. Or it could be, it was with a tanai, with a condition. If I don't come back to my house, the soldier would say, this get should be a get. Now, if that was the case, David could always just see to it that Uri is on a mission, that, you know, he's taken care of, and he just won't come home. And it doesn't have to kill him. Nothing has to happen, you know, drastically. But if there should be such a, you know, if that would be the situation, and Uri would live through the war, so he'll just see to it that Uri doesn't come home. And some of the Mefarshim learn, as we'll see in this perek, that even if he lives through the battle, but if he comes back and he decides that he doesn't want to be married anymore, it was sort of his option. He can come back from the war and rejoin his family, and then the get will be null and void. But if he wants, whether he wants or he doesn't want, if he doesn't come back from battle, he doesn't want to come back from battle, he doesn't want to go back to his house, in all these cases... The get, you know, the trauma of going through war. It could be he comes back from war, he's a different man. He just can't fit again anymore into his previous, whatever. He comes back. If he doesn't want to go back to his family, so then the get would be a get. So there were ways of working it out that David wasn't too worried about this Iser, what could be a problem with Eish HaSish. The problem is, there's always the unexpected. Pasuk Hey. Vatar Ha'isha. Batsheva became pregnant. She was now expecting. Vatishlach Vatage LeDavid. She sent a message and she told David. Vatomer, and she said, Hara Anochi. I'm expecting. So now all of a sudden, things are thrown into disarray. David has to immediately act. She sent a message to him, just telling him the facts. Hara Anochi. Now it's his problem. David has to figure out what to do. If Uri is not going to come back for battle, let's say for a few months, or even if Uri ends up, let's say, dying in battle in a few months, but everyone's going to know that David must have lived with Batsheva, and that's why she's pregnant, because her husband was away at the battle the whole time. So all of a sudden, it's not enough to just have a legal, this is going to be a major scandal. So David is all of a sudden confronted by Tomer Haranochi, she's expecting, what is David going to do about it? Now, obviously she was not expecting before. We mentioned before in Chazal, the war started at the time when the kings would go to battle in Sivan. This happened in Elul. This happened a few months later. Especially she had just gone to the mikvah. She was not expecting at this point. She was having her normal cycle, and it was clear if there would be a child, it would be from David. What's interesting is the Abarbanel has a mahalach here. His approach to this whole Indian is, I say the Gemara. There are different Gemaras that view this incident in different ways. There's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Nun Vov. And the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, Kol ha'aymer David chata, whoever says that David sinned, eino ela toya, is nothing but mistaken. I guess the Gemara says, and is he simply mistaken? Shenemar, because it's a pasuk, and this actually was written in Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Ches. But we know from David, Vayhi David l'chol d'roch of maskil. David was successful, whatever he did, Vashem imo, and Hashem was with him. And the Gemara understands that, even though this was before the incident of Bathsheba, David had such a hashkoch, and Hashem was with him, it just isn't possible that David would have sinned in such an avera. Efshe chet bali yodo shechina imo, how could it be he had such a sin and the shechina's with him? There's a pasuk that we're going to see in the next parak. Elamani makayim madua bazisas tavar Hashem. David was criticized for disgracing the word of Hashem, despising the word of Hashem. Lasus arad, to do what's evil. So Gemara says, yeah, what he did was to do evil, but in the end he didn't do it. Shebikesh lasus v'lo'asa. It could have turned out being an avera, but in the end David worked it out. Nothing wrong happened. Amar Rav. Rav says, Rebbe da'asimi David. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi came from David HaMelech. He was Malchus based David. Mahapech, so he turns things from the simple meaning, V'dorish b'zechus, and he looks for a way to find the zechus, the David for David. And he explains this idea, that normally the Torah would say, Vayah, somebody did what was wrong. And by David it says, Lassos, he wanted to do what was wrong. Shebikesh Lassos v'lo'asa. He wanted to do what's wrong, but he didn't actually do anything wrong. Anyways, Abar Ben Al says, Chazal have drushes and have ways of understanding the psukim to teach us certain lessons and how this thing could have happened in a way that was heter. But Abar Ben Al says, in the simple meaning, which is the way Abar Ben Al would learn, David was guilty of this terrible aveir, and he did a number of things that were terribly wrong. He takes that at sort of at face value, and he says it's there to teach us how great David was. Like we learned the Gemara last week, that this is the lesson of how a person can do tshuva. That a person can do the worst thing, but he's able to pull himself out, and David HaMelech was able to work on himself, and his tshuva was so complete, he ended up reaching a higher level than he was on before. And of course, throughout the drushes of Chazal, that it could have been done in a way that was mutter, but the simple meaning of the psukim also has validity, and the Abar Ben Al takes that approach. I mention that because I like to point out a number of the things the Abar Ben Al focuses on, and how the Malbim's approach in general in Nach was to take the Chazals and the way the Chachamim look at an inyan and find it in the words of the psukim. In the words of the psukim, you can see that Chazal were right. Like we've mentioned before, the very fact that Torah stresses Himis Kadeshes Mitumasa, she was purifying herself from her nidus, from being impure. It's clear that she wasn't an Eishes Ish, because if so, we wouldn't focus on the lesser sin. Anyway, so Abar Ben Al points out on the simple level, when we read these psukim, how could it be that David went ahead and took an Eishes Ish? She took Bathsheba, who was married to somebody else. And that would even be if a person took a colleague's wife. But here you have somebody like Uriah, who's at the battlefront, and he was one of the Giboyrim of David. He was one of David's valiant warriors, and he's risking his life, and he's doing so much for David. And David should take his wife. How could that be? It's such a terrible thing. The Malbim points out that no, Chazal darshan, that what happened was all legally correct. And he has a number of proofs that you can't even take the simple meaning like that. First of all, if somebody does such an avera, chas v'shalom, we always know an eishes ish who lives with somebody else is now forbidden to her husband. If it's forbidden to the husband, it's forbidden to the man that she sinned with. Or she sinned with that person, she's forbidden to marry him. So even if you would say that this was a sin, but then David wouldn't be able to remain the rest of his life married to Bathsheba. The very fact that he remained married to her is the proof that there was no sin. Because if it would have been forbidden, they would have been forbidden to remain together. we'll see that she right now became Uberes, she was expecting. David is going to pray for that child, that he should live. And if the child would be a mamzer, which it would be, in other words, if a married woman has a child from another man, the child is a mamzer. And looking at that simon, it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. And it always strikes me as such a sad type of feeling. But it's brought down out of Bris. There's a tefillah that said for the child. It said for the child here. Cause that this child should exist for his father and his mother, he should remain alive for his parents, and his name should be given. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, if the child is a mamzer, that line is deleted. That we don't daven that the mamzer should live. Obviously, later on in life, the mamzer has other problems. Who's he going to marry? And even if he does marry, he has children. The children are mamzerim. It's a major problem. It's a nebuch, and it's a tragedy. But we don't daven that the child should live. That's just a very sad point to think, you know, such a child born in the world, and we don't even pray for his life. But David is going to daven for this child. Obviously, the child is not a mamzer. And how could it be he kept Bathsheba for a wife, even at the time that he did tshuva? We're going to see the tshuva of David was tremendous. David was aware that he did something wrong, and yet he stayed married to Bathsheba. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David that this is going to be his wife, and the next child born from him is going to be the continuation of Malchus Beis David. He's going to be the great Shlomo HaMelech, and Hashem called him Yedidya, that he's the Yedid of Hashem. He's Hashem's, the one who's so dear to Hashem. It's obviously there was nothing wrong. Even Al Pi Derech HaPshat will have to learn away. You have to take what Chazal are saying. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, all of these points that we're mentioning. Obviously, Bathsheba, as we mentioned, could be, hadn't even lived with Uriah, didn't have this relationship with Uriah. Uriah had a family from another wife who passed on, who died. Now she's sending the message to David, Hara Nochi, that she's expecting, and she's counting on David. Could be David discussed with Bathsheba, that he knew in Nevuah that she was going to be his wife. We're getting a little sidetracked, but it's funny. It's in Lahavdo, but there's a tshuva, I think it's in the Binyan Sion. You know, some people look at tshuvas to see the level of, you know, to see what society was like in the point of time that, you know, the tshuva was written. But it has a tshuva. On one hand, it shows you the emunah that Klal Yisrael had in Europe. Whatever, he has a bizarre story. A guy came to town and said he was Mashiach. First he came and he acted, you know, he fasted and he was tovel in the snow. And he did things that show that he was like, it wasn't like a regular person. And he acted like a tremendously big tzaddik. He did everything, whatever you can imagine a tzaddik does, he does. Anyways, later on, the husband was gone, and he told the woman that he knew in Nevuah that their child was going to be Mashiach, or that he was Mashiach. And anyway, she accepted his story, because everyone was so convinced this man was a tzaddik, and they did that aveira together. And then it discusses over there, is that called an oinus? Is that like an accident? Is that an intentional sin? But you see their emunah on the way, I mean, it's in this case, she was very naive, but there has to be a certain bedrock of emunah for such a thing to even happen. But over here, Lahavdos, but obviously David must have discussed with Bathsheba exactly what he knew in Nevuah was destined, that they were gonna, that she was going to be his wife, and that was going to produce a Malchus Beis David. So now she sends him this message. Vayishlach David el Yoav. David sends a message to Yoav. Shlach Elias Uriah Achiti. Send to me Uriah Achiti. That was Bathsheba's husband. Send him to me. Vayishlach Yoav es Uriah el David. Yoav sent Uriah to David. Why did David ask for Uriah? The simple meaning was like in Pasuk Zion. Vayava Uriah elov, Uriah came to David. Vayishal David, and David asked, Lishlom Yoav, how's Yoav the general doing? Lishlom Ha'am, how are the soldiers? How's everyone doing out there on the battlefront? Lishlom Ha'melchoma, how's the battle going? Are there skirmishes? Are the battle heat up yet? What's going on? Every once in a while, I'm sure Yoav sent messages back to the king to let him know how what's doing. So he called Uriah, and he sent Uriah to David, and David asked him how things were going, and everything seemed normal. It's not clear, did the people know, did Uriah know exactly what happened? Again, David had called, had inquired about Bathsheba. He was told that she was Bathsheba, Bas Eliam, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah Achiti. When he heard that she's the wife of Uriah Achiti, so he knew that her husband was at the battlefront, as we discussed, and the soldier would give a get to his wife. She was the son, daughter of Eliam. Eliam was the son of Achitophel. Achitophel had all these great aitzes and advices. He, whatever aitz Achitophel gave was always came true. Achitophel would have worked things out that his granddaughter shouldn't be stuck as an iguna. It was clear to David that over here it was permitted. Then David sent for her and she came. And Vayishkavima, but it doesn't, I don't know if anyone else knew what happened. As he called for Bathsheba, I don't know if anyone knows what happened. Certainly it's not clear, the Mephoshim discussed, did Uriah know? When Uriah came back, does he realize what happened with his wife? But we'll see. We'll see how this fits in with the Psukim. David calls, sends a message to Yoav, that was his general, Yoav ben Tsruya, and he says, send me Uriah. Now, David had an intention like this. Again, we have to work through all the possibilities. If Uriah decides he doesn't want to go back home, David is going to send him to go back to his family. If Uriah refuses to go back home, so then if Uriah had given her an absolute get, with an understanding that when he comes back home, he'll remarry his wife. But if he's decided he doesn't want to remarry her, so then it's no problem for David to take her, and then the child will be from David. I say Uriah was gone for a few months already, so there wouldn't be, and the get took effect earlier. In other words, he gave her a get when he went out to battle. Now he's deciding he doesn't want to remarry her, should be permitted to David immediately. If the get was given on a condition, also, in other words, it's conditional. The get takes a place now, assuming that the soldier doesn't come back and doesn't want to go back to his wife. So if Uriah is not going to go back to his wife, there won't be any problem. If Uriah does go back to his wife, then, well, if Uriah had originally given her a get, and then she lived with David, the halacha is, it's a pasuk, a mitzvah in the Torah, lo yuchol baila harishon asher sholcha lo shuv lakachta, that if a husband divorces his wife and she marries somebody else, she's no longer permitted to the first husband. But that's only if there'd be a marriage. If the husband divorced her and she lived with somebody else, she's permitted to the first husband. So if it's an absolute get, even if she lived with David, she's permitted again for Uriah. And there wouldn't be an Aveira for her to go back to Uriah. The Abarbanel is one of the tremendous arguments of the Abarbanel is that how could it be David would do such a thing and send her back to Uriah, and then it won't be clear who the child is from. And we know that that's a terrible thing, because if the child doesn't realize he's David's son, he might marry David's daughter, and it can end up to the worst Averis. A person has to know who the father is and who the mother is. But the Malbim says that's not a problem. Obviously, when he would have gotten older, it could be in a few years from then, David would tell him, by the way, you should know this happened, and there was no Avera. Bathsheba had been divorced at the time, and even though you think you're Uriah's son, you're really mine. But that wasn't a major problem. The only problem, which is a major problem, if the get is given on a condition that the man, when he goes out to war, gives his wife a get, that if he's not going to come back to his house, she's divorced. But if he sends Uriah to his house, it's going to come out that she was not divorced. And then he would have done the terrible, terrible Aveira of Aneisha Zish. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, which is talking about something else. But it gives a picture, what the Gemara says about Chilul Hashem, and about doing Aveiros in Chilul Hashem. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem. The Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Yavoah Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Noach lo la'odam shiyavar aveira b'seser. It's preferable to do an Aveira in secret. V'al yichal Hashem Shemayim b'farhesya. But don't make a chil Hashem in public. If the guy does an Aveira, it should be done secretly. Nobody should know about it. Shenemar, and the Gemara brings a pasuk, V'atem beis Yisrael ka'omar Hashem, Hashem says, Ish ki lulav l'chu avodu. Everyone, go ahead and worship your idols. Acharim einchem shon memelai. But v'ashem kotch lo sechalu. Go ahead and worship the idols, but don't make a chil Hashem. If a guy sees his Yetzirah is just overpowering him, he should go to a place where they don't recognize him. Let him put on black clothing. And cover himself in black. Do what he wants. And don't make a chil Hashem in public. Rashi says, Yilbash Shchorim, he should wear black. Shlo yira atzmo bichvodo. If he doesn't see himself as being an honorable person, he doesn't see himself in his kavod, he doesn't see himself as being an important person. He's wearing black as a sign of mourning, a sign of humility. Ula yerech levovo b'kach. Right now he's planning to sin. So the plan is let him wear black and go somewhere else. And he sees himself as being unimportant, and not noticed, and not prestigious, that will humble his heart. That's one point. And then Rashi continues, V'gamim yechto, and even if he does sin, ain't adam no sein leiv. Nobody's going to pay attention to him. Nobody's going to take a lesson. It's not going to make a scandal. It's not going to have any effect on anyone else. L'fisha ain't a chashuv b'neim, because they look at him, and they don't think of him as being important. Imagine a guy sees a drunkard or somebody who's doing something wrong. It doesn't even register. Another guy doesn't think. He's not choshev in their eyes, and therefore it won't make a chal Hashem. L'chein yil bashchorim, and therefore he should wear black. Tosfos says over there, the Gemara said he should wear black and do what he wants. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, chas v'sholem shehuter lo lavar aveira. Chas v'sholem, you can't tell me the Gemara is saying wear black and go do whatever aveira you want. Chas v'sholem. El kacham Rabbi Loi, yigias derochim. What Rabbi Loi was saying, the toil from traveling. You tell the guy he should go to another city. So he's got to schlep there. And he's got to stay in different motels and hotels on the way. And he's wearing black. All these things, the traveling and the tircha, are Meshabrim Yetzahara, Umonim Adamin Havera. It breaks the Yetzahara and it causes the guy to hold back from Havera. So Tosfos says, of course, there's no hetero. You can't even say that, you know, if he does the Aveira, so we're not permitting the Aveira at all. The only plan is it's going to stop him from sinning. But Rashi did mention this idea. In other words, hopefully, of course, we're not giving a guy a plan to sin. Chas v'sholem, chas v'sholem. But even if it comes to that, it won't be so bad. Here, and Chazal learned out, mutav l'adam Lavar Suffolk Ashish. It's better for a person to get involved with a Suffolk Ashish by Yachal Shem Shemaim Befarhesi and don't make a chil and Valyabim Pnechaver Barabim. The Gemara learns out in Bomitzi shouldn't be cause somebody else embarrassment. But the Gemara calls this a case of Suffolk Ashish. When David did the action, he had everything worked out that there shouldn't be a problem. And he knew that Bathsheba was destined for him and he knew there was a get in everything. But now, Vatara Isha. She's expecting. Which I'd say was unusual, especially if she hadn't lived with Uriah and she was a katana. But Lemaisa, she's expecting. However it happened, Vatara Isha. Now, what should David do? If David does nothing, and he just sees to it, let's say that Uriah doesn't come back from battle, and so will be a get Lemafreya, and David will be legally okay. But everyone's going to realize that David lived with Bathsheba. It's going to make a tremendous chil Hashem. So David has a choice of there being a tremendous chil Hashem and he won't have any aveira. He didn't do anything wrong. Or he could do something where at the moment that he did the action, it wasn't clearly an aveira. It's going to end up being an aveira if Uriah goes back to his house. But if Uriah goes back to his house, he'll avoid the chil Hashem. According to that pshat, it's the most difficult because the other pshat didn't work it out that everything would be mutter and would be okay. Here it comes out, according to this pshat, that the get was given on a condition, and David is sending Uriah home, it would come out the tremendous mesiras nefesh of David, that he was willing to accept one of the worst averis to avoid Chil Hashem, which is obviously considered an even greater avera, to do whatever just to avoid this Chil Hashem. So he sends for Uriah, and Uriah comes. The truth is, probably, David figured that Uriah wouldn't go to his house. He's going to tell Uriah to go to his house. And the most logical response we'll see is that Uriah is going to say he doesn't want to go, because he doesn't want to go back to his wife. He's going to say clearly he doesn't want to go back to his wife, and the get will be a get. And if the get was given originally with an understanding that if he comes back, he'll remarry her, once he says he doesn't want to take her back, that's finished. And if it's a get on a condition, Uriah will say he doesn't want to go back to his wife, the get will take effect, l'mafreya on earth, from when it was given, and again, everything will be mutter. And that's probably what's going to happen, because Uriah had never lived with Bathsheba. We mentioned before, Bathsheba could be, had told this to David, and therefore, you can assume that that's what's going to happen. And sure enough, what's supposed to happen doesn't. So Uriah came, Vayavu Uriah Lov, Uriah came to David. Vayishal David, Lishlom Yoav, David asked how Yoav is doing, Lishlom Am, and how the people are, Lishlom HaMochama, what's doing at the battle. And he doesn't mention anything that happened, and Uriah doesn't mention anything. We don't know if Uriah is aware of what transpired. Vayomer David l'Uriah. Now David says to Uriah, Reid l'veischa, go down to your house, or rechatz raglecha, and wash your feet. The simple meaning is he came in from battle, and his feet were all dusty and dirty. He should go ahead and wash up and go back to his house. And Chazal say it's Loshen Nekiya, that it means that he should live together with his wife. Vayetze Uriah mibeis hamelech. So Uriah left the house of the king. Vatetze achrav masas hamelech. And the king sent afterwards a royal portion. He sent to him, as Rashi brings in the Targum, says, Sudasa de Malka. He sends him a royal banquet. It could be in general. Uriah was one of his prize warriors. He was one of those Giboyrim of David. It could be it's whenever the soldier came back from the battlefront, maybe the king sent him a bouquet of flowers to his house. He's going back for a vacation. He sent him something there. So he sent him a royal meal. That knew this is his furlough. He's got a vacation. He sent him a royal meal, and he can enjoy the time at home. Vayishkav Uriah. By the way, some learn Masas HaMelech, he sent him with like torches. Like it says in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Me'emasayayu Masin Masuos. Masuos can mean a torch. Could be sent him with a whole procession with torches, like, you know, like it'd be a chasna, he's going back to his wife, he's been gone all this time. He's going back home. So he gave him the royal treatment in a positive way. He sent him these portions, and he sent him home. Vayishkav Uriah Pesach Beis HaMelech. Uriah spent the night by the entrance, by the Pesach Beis HaMelech, the doorway to the palace. Eis kol avdei Adonav, with all the other servants of the king. The king normally had servants around the palace, and that's where Uriah went. V'lo yorad el beiso, and he did not go to his house. Why didn't he go to his house? Some say that, assuming the get would be invalid, the get would be cancelled if he went back home. Right? If he went back home, it wouldn't be a get. Or if he divorced her the first time, he'd have to marry her again. Then, the next day, or the day after, he's going to go back to war. So he's going to have to write another get. It could be Uri just figured for the one night or two nights, he didn't bother going back home because it's going to be such a tircha to write another get when he goes out to battle again. Of course, if things were properly, if things were in the normal situation at home, of course he would have gone. But obviously, it seems like Uriah didn't feel this close attachment to Bathsheba, and it was a tircha for him if he would have gone home or whatever. So we'll see in a moment what he tells David his reason. But he didn't go back home. Vayagidu leDavid leimor. They told David, saying, Lo yorad Uriel beso. Uriah didn't go down to his house. Vayomer David el Uriah. So David said to Uriah, Halomi derech atava. You're coming from the road. You're away on a trip. Madulo, you're out of Tel Beisecha. After being away for an extended time, he was on a trip. He should go back home. Now, not going back home over here was, again, the Abarbanel points out another tain against David. Besides the fact he took Bathsheba, and besides the fact he's now going to keep hidden the lineage of the child, and now he's going to go ahead and he's sending Uriah back to his house. You know, how could I? And then we'll see later on, Uriah is going to refuse to go, and therefore he's going to cause Uriah to die. He's going to, like, oh, it's one wrong thing after another. The Abarbanel points out, as the Gemara does, but the Malbim points out how Uriah was Morid B'Malchus. He rebelled against David. Certain things I'll mention in the Gemara, we'll get to in a moment, but even in this Pasuk, a soldier normally looks to have a day off. They're all looking to come back from the war. They don't want to be on the battlefront. Here, Uriah has an opportunity to come home and get away from the battle. So, of course, he should go. Besides that, the king told him to go. And besides that, there's a chiyuv. Halomi derech atabo, madula yirad atal beisecha. He's got some obligations to his wife and to his family. He's got to go back home. And he goes ahead and he stays by the palace. That's Morid B'Malchus. You're rebelling against the king. And we'll see in a moment how he speaks to David HaMelech with such a conviction that what he's doing is right and without any feeling that he's got to follow the decree of the king. And over here there was a second insult. The king sent a Masas HaMelech. He sent a special portion. And the Malbim, as he does so often, notices that there are no synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. Every word has its own nuance and its own particular meaning. Mincha is a present that a lower person brings to a greater person. Like it says by Yaakov Avinu, he's sending presents to Esav. Kachnos birchosi, he says, Vatavra mincha alponov. He calls it a present as if Esav is greater than he is. And Yaakov's bringing him this mincha. And you find throughout Tanakh, mincha means if a lesser person gives a present to a greater one. Masas is when a greater person gives a present to the lesser individual. And the idea is as to be nose, to lift him up, to encourage him. If a great person gives you a present, you feel encouraged. So it's an uplifting experience. You find by Yosef, he gave the brothers, Vayisa Masas Meis Ponav Aleim, Vater of Masas Binyamin. It says, Yosef gave portions to the brothers. And this was the second in command to Paro. The leader of Mitzrayim is inviting them to a meal. That what they get from him is a Masas, a portion. This is Vatetzi Achrav Masas HaMelech. The king is not just dollars and cents, you know, what does the meal cost? This is a present from the king, that the king is showing how much he values Uriah's service. That Uriah was putting in a good battle, he wants Uriah to go home and to enjoy, and Uriah goes ahead and he sleeps in the gutter, you know, and he sleeps by the king's door. Oh, the king wants to uplift you and just show what he cares for you, and you ignore it. Now, David is again looking. He's looking for Uriah to say he doesn't want to be with his wife anymore. And if he'll say that he doesn't want to go home because he doesn't want Bathsheba, then we know the get is a get, whether it was a tie or it was absolute. The get is final, and there's no Avera, and then David can take her. And if the child is born, whatever, 9 months later, everyone knows it's from David, which, no problem. Everything works out beautifully. Except that that's not what happens. Vayomer Uriel David. Uriah says to David. He doesn't say clearly, I don't want Bathsheba as a wife. He says, Ha'aron. The Aron. Be Yisrael, be Yehuda, and Yisrael, that's obviously even then, or as David, Shevet, Yehuda is mentioned separately, and Yisrael is the rest of Klal Yisrael. But Yisrael and Yehuda, Yoshim Basukos, they're all in huts. Vadoni Yoav, and my master Yoav, who's the general, V'avdei Adoni, and the servants of my master, meaning David, all the servants of the king, Alpnei Asoda Sadechonim, they're all camped on the surface of the field. Everyone's out in war on the field. V'ani Ovo Obesi, and I'll go to my house, Lechol, to eat, V'lishtos, and to drink, V'lishka V'mishni, and to lie with my wife. Chayecha, by your life. Listen to the way he's speaking to David. By your life, v'cheinav shecha, and the life of your soul. Meaning, like, not in this world, and not in the life of your soul, in Olam Haba. In other words, no matter what, it's like, it's a lashon of a shavua, like swearing, like, I swear, im eses adavar hazeh, there's no way that I'm going home. And David wanted to say, he doesn't want, he was very clear that it seems like he'd like to be married to Bathsheba. Just how can he go now home when everyone else is at the battlefront? Ha'aron, by the way, this is incidentally, we discussed this at the very beginning, way back in Shmuel, when the Aron was captured. The Aron was Bas Sukkos. There's a question exactly what that means, the Aron was in the huts. It could either mean that the main Aron was in Yerushalayim, and will later be put in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a second Aron that had the broken, the Shivrei Luchos, and that was an Aron that went out with them to war. Or it could be, in other words, we know the Aron was in Yerushalayim. It could be this Aron just meant the box that contained the Urim V'Tumim and the Ephod, that if they had a question at battle what to do, they kept things in the special box, but it had a special chashivus that held the Urim V'Tumim. But it wasn't the Aron that we think of, because the Aron was in Yerushalayim. Or it could be, even the Aron in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet. Now, obviously, it was in our, this is going on for hundreds of years, that the Aron is not in its permanent dwelling. But when he mentions that Klal Yisrael is not settled in their place, the first thing he mentions is the Aron. The Aron is of prime importance. So it could be it's referring to the Aron that's in Yerushalayim, and it's still in a temporary dwelling, and even though it might have been that way for hundreds of years, but I mean, it was a Mishkan Shiloh, but it was in a temporary place now. He didn't want to say Yisrael and Yehuda are in a temporary dwelling without mentioning that the Aron is also temporary. But that would be the meaning of the Aron. But the Aron and Yisrael and Yehuda, they're all living basukos in huts. Vadoni Yoav. Now this is another example of him being Morei B'Malchus. My master Yoav, V'avdei Adoni, and the servants of my master, meaning David. So in the same phrase, you mention the general first, Adoni Yoav, and then you mention the servants of David, Avdei Adoni. You can't mention the general before the king. And even a greater taina, I say the Gemara discusses in Kiddushin, exactly the different than the Meforshim discuss what was the Moirid B'Malchus. The very fact he referred to Yoav, Vadoni Yoav, my master Yoav. When you're speaking to the king, you have no master except for the king. How can you speak to the king and say, my master Yoav? Your master is David. So to say to David, my master Yoav, that's a Morei B'Malchus. And again, as we mentioned, not going home when he was told clearly to go home, that's also Morei B'Malchus. So there are a number of explanations how he rebelled against David. But there's no question he was Morid B'Malchus, and somebody who's Morid B'Malchus is Chayiv Misa. He deserves the death penalty. So not only, now we'll see how David went about doing it, but the whole chain of events took a very bizarre turn. Archie's expecting, Uriah refuses to go home, but he doesn't say it's because he doesn't want the marriage anymore. So now David's stuck. At the moment, Bathsheba is either actually married, or he might have given her a get, but there's always an understanding that her husband was going to take her back, and what David did was obviously improper, and she's expecting, and if he doesn't come up with a solution soon, and Uri is not going home, everyone's going to know that the child is from David. Vayomer, and the very fact also, he says, Chayecha, by your life. He's speaking to the king. He should say, V'chayei HaMelech. to say chayecha by your life. And he's not speaking to his buddy, his friend over here. By your life, I'm not going home. Vayomer David al Uriah. David said to Uriah, Shev bozeh gam hayom. Stay here today also. Umochar ashalchecha. And tomorrow I'll send you back to battle. David figured, you know, maybe Uriah doesn't feel comfortable. He should go back home and his war should be over and everybody else is in the field. So he told Uriah, tomorrow you will go back to battle. So it's not going to seem at all improper if one night you had a vacation, you went home for the night. You know, you're going to go right back to battle. It's not like you're ignoring what Klal Yisrael is going through. Tomorrow you're going to go back to battle. It's just the night. Right. Vayeshev Uriah v'Yerushalayim. So Uriah remained in Yerushalayim by Yom Ahud that day, Umimachus on the next day. So he had Uriah in Yerushalayim. His wife is nearby, right? David saw her from the palace. He could see where her house was. She's right there. He's in Yerushalayim. He's got a lot of hours on his hand. He's there the whole day and he's there the next day. Vayikra lo David. David calls him. Vayochal lefanav. And he sees to it that Uriah eats. Vayesht, and he drinks. Vayishakri, and he made him shikr. Could be Uriah had whatever cheshbonos, he had whatever calculations and reasons he didn't want to go back home. But if it'd be shikr, he wouldn't think with the same lucid thoughts, and he would go back home. It's his wife, and she's right nearby. So he made him shikr. Vayetzi v'erev, Uriah went out in the evening. Lishkav v'mishkavu, to lie in his same place, lying in Avdei Adonav with the servants of his master, with David's men, v'albeso lo yorod, and he didn't go back to his house. After all this, he's still not going home. Now David has to do something. Vayiva boker, it was in the morning. Vayichtov David sefer el Yoav. David wrote a sefer. He wrote a scroll. He wrote the instructions to Yoav. Vayishlach biad Uriah, and he sent it through Uriah. Obviously, he trusted Uriah that Uriah would not open up the envelope and read the letter. In other words, this letter is going to say Vayichtov asefer lemor. It says in the sefer as follows: Hovu es Uriah, give Uriah el mul pnei hamilchama. Where facing opposite the where the main battle is, Hachazoka, where the strong battle is, put him where the battle is fiercest. And then while the battle's going on, Veshavta Me'acharov, you should pull back Vinika, and he'll be there alone in the front. He'll get hit, but Mason, he'll die. Obviously, David trusted Uriah. They wouldn't read the letter. Could be he wrote it in... Some of them, for him, say, could be he wrote in a different language, could be he sent some items to Yoav, and he stuck this letter in, you know, maybe baked him a cake, and he stuck the instructions in the cake. Somehow he kept it hidden, that Uriah shouldn't discover what was going on, but he obviously trusted Uriah. And just as surprising was the fact that he trusted Yoav, because we've had before, and we'll have again. Yoav ben Tzruya had a mind of his own. And even though he's got to serve David HaMelech, and he did things to help David, but he did things his own way, and he didn't always follow instructions. And Yoav is now going to be the one in charge of seeing that David is planning Uriah's death. Now obviously, if Yoav shows that letter to anyone, this could create an even bigger scandal than the last one. In other words, Yoav now has a letter that David is instructing that Uriah should be killed. Now, again, Uriah had been shikr and he didn't go home. So it seems to be that Uriah was not interested in being with Bathsheba anymore. Even when he was shikr, he didn't think of going home. It wasn't just like a righteous, like a frum calculation, like, you know, he'd like to go to his wife, but how could he do that if everyone's in the battlefront? But here, even when he's shikr, he doesn't go. So it seems that Uriah really didn't care to be married to Bathsheba. But he didn't go on, he didn't say it, and he didn't say clearly. He's on record that he can't go home as long as everyone's at the battlefront. L'maisa, there is a Gemara that says when the Aron, Gemara in Eruvin, on Daf Samach Gimel, when the Aron and the Shechina are Shalobi Mekoyman, when they're not in their place, Yisrael Asurim B'Tashmish. People are also to live with their wives when the Aron and the Shechin are not in their place. But as we mentioned, the Aron here is considered the fact that it's not in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's in as permanent a place as it's going to be. It's not being traveled, it's not in movement right now. The Aron in Yerushalayim is in Yerushalayim where it's going to stay until there's a Beis HaMikdash. And whatever was in the field was not the main Aron, and this prohibition obviously did not apply. The very fact, David lived with Bathsheba, and David sent Uriah to go home. There was no problem with going home. And the feeling of, how can I do it if Klal Yisrael is on the battlefront, that perhaps if you would think it was a righteous, the frum cheshbon, that should have fallen away when he got shikar. But the fact that he was still adamant means he wasn't interested in Bathsheba anymore. But on the other hand, he didn't say it. So David sends this message to Uriah, to Yoav, to put Uriah where the battle is heaviest. Which again, the Abba Arbanel says, how could he do such a thing? To go ahead and to cause his death? If he was Chayiv Misa, they should have sentenced him in Beis Din. And the Gemara actually says that David should have taken him to Beis Din and should not have decided the matter on his own. Bring it to Beis Din and point out how he hasn't been obeying the king and it was an insult and he would be Chayiv Misa, but do it legally. To which the Malbim responds, again, that would just make a greater Chil Hashem. David is trying to keep things quiet. If Uri is killed in battle, so then Bathsheba is definitely divorced, and the divorce takes effect from the moment it was given. So it comes out there was no Avera, nothing was done wrong. And the truth is, Uri was Chayev Misa, he was married by Malchus. So it wasn't the way things were planned initially, but certainly at this point, he deserves to be killed, and David didn't do anything wrong. Vayhi bishmor Yoav el Oyir. It was when Yoav was guarding the city. Vayiten es Uriah. He placed Uriah el amokom asher yoda, to the place that he knew ki anshei chayil sham, that the valiant warriors were. Inside the city, it was known at this point is where the strong soldiers are. And that's where there's going to be a fierce battle. So Yoav placed Uriah in that area. Again, not that it was clear at that point that he was planning to kill Uriah. Somebody's got to be there. And Uriah was on one of the Giboyrim. So you put your strong soldiers opposite the enemy's strong soldiers. Vayetzu anshei Oyir, the men of the city went out. Vaylochamu es Yoav, and they battled with Yoav. Vayipol min ha'om. And from the people, they fell. They were killed. Me'avdei David, from the servants of David, were killed. Vayomos gam Uriah Achiti, and Uriah Achiti was also killed. And we'll see later on when the story is told over, we'll see more details exactly how Uriah was killed. Vayishlach Yoav, Yoav sent a message. Vayage leDavid es kol divrei hamilchama, and he told David the whole matter of the battle, how Uriah's mission is successful. Uriah was killed. We'll continue next week in Yerushalayim.